Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 18. Diti vows to kill King Indra. We're reading texts 35 to 37. 37's on the board, so I'll read 35 and 36 myself, and we'll chant 37 together. Text 35. Tasmat pati vrita narya shreyas kama sumadyame yajante nanya bhavena patim atmanam ishvaram. Translation, my dear wife, whose body is so beautiful, your waist being thin, a conscientious wife should be chaste and should abide by the orders of a husband. She should very devoutly worship her husband as a representative of Vasudev. Text 36. Soham tvayarchito badre idrig bhavena bhaktitaha tam te sampadaye kaman asatinam sadurlabham. Translation, my dear gentle wife, because you have worshipped me with great devotion, considering me a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I shall reward you by fulfilling your desires, which are unobtainable for an unchaste wife. So text 37, please repeat. Dityurvacha varado yadi me brahman putram indra hanam vrene amrityum mrita putraham yena me katitao sutao ditirvacha varado yadi me brahman putram indra hanam vrene amrityum mrita putraham yena me katitao sutao dityurvacha varado yadi me brahman putram indra hanam vrne amrityum mrita putraham yena me gatitao suto dityurvacha varado yadi me brahman putram indra hanam vrane amrityum mrita putraham yena me gatitao sutao Dityurvacha Vaishnavis. Dhirvacha. Ayena Imam Brahman. Vitram Hindra Hirame. Dityurvacha. Diti said, Varadaha, the giver of benedictions. Yadi, if, may, to me, Brahman, O great soul, Putram, a son, Indrahanam, who can kill Indra, Vrine, I am asking for, Amrityum, immortal, Mritaputra, whose sons are dead, Aham, I, Yena, by whom, Me, my, Gatito, were caused to be killed. Sutau, two sons. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Diti replied, O my husband, O great soul, I have now lost my sons. If you want to give me a benediction, I ask you for an immortal son who can kill Indra. I pray for this because Indra, with the help of Vishnu, has killed my two sons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Please repeat. Diti replied, O my husband, O great soul, I have now lost my sons. If you want to give me a benediction, I ask you for an immortal son who can kill Indra. I pray for this because Indra, with the help of Vishnu, has killed my two sons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Purport. The word Indrahanam means one who can kill Indra, but it also means one who follows Indra. The word Amrityum refers to the demigods who do not die like ordinary human beings because they have extremely long durations of life. For example, the duration of Lord Brahma's life is stated in Bhagavad Gita, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Aharyad Brahmano Vidu. Even the duration of one day or 12 hours of Brahma is 4,300,000 years multiplied by 1,000. Thus, the duration of his life is inconceivable for the ordinary human being. The demigods are therefore sometimes called Amara, which means one who has no death. In this material world, however, everyone has to die. Therefore, the word Amrityam indicates that Diti wanted a son who would be equal in status to the demigods. Om Gyanantimurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So because of a class schedule malfunction, I'm giving class today. I found out about it just right before the class began. So one always has to be prepared for this. You know, death may come at any moment, so one has to be able to focus the mind on Krishna, and the order to give Bhagavatam class may come at any moment. someone has to be prepared to say something. And one can never really tell when one may be asked to represent Krishna in a certain situation. You know, we may think, oh, I'm just here to listen and do what I normally do. But, you know, sometimes we may be unexpectedly put in positions where we have to stand up for Krishna. It's just like Srila Prabhupada, some devotees were just peacefully serving, you know, Krishna in some temple, and then he would tell them, I want you to go to this country or that country and preach Krishna consciousness all by yourself. So these things sometimes happen. So even though one has not fully prepared oneself, sometimes one has to step up to the plate for the service of Krishna. This can happen. So in this purport, there's some mention of the vast scale of the Vedic time cycles, the lifetime of Brahma is being mentioned. So this topic of time cycles comes up in modern society. Especially today, people are talking about 2012 because of the Mayan calendar. Yeah, which is a culture that existed in ancient times in Central America. And they also had a concept of cyclical time with vast cycles of time, things like that. So I'm going to be talking about Vedic time cycles this weekend at the Conscious Life Expo at the LAX Hilton. Of course, I don't know why any of you would go there and pay a big fee when you can hear me talk here for free. But, so, as, Srila Prabhupada's mentioning in this purport, there's a Bhagavad Gita verse, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Aharyat Brahmano Vidu. That means a day of Brahma is equivalent to 1,000 cycles of four yugas. According to the Vedic cosmology, there's what's called a Divya Yuga, a cycle of four yugas. It starts out with Satya Yuga, and then it goes to Treta Yuga, then Dwapara Yuga, then Kali Yuga. And in Satya Yuga, it is said, everything is all very spiritual on earth. Even though it's the material world, things are very favorable for developing spiritual consciousness and going back home, back to Godhead. The environmental conditions are very nice. The mental conditions are very nice. People live for 100,000 years. And then And everyone lives very naturally and peacefully and harmoniously. And then in the next yuga, the Treta Yuga, things get a little more materialistic and people start dividing themselves into classes and groups, start living in settlements, cities and towns, and a little bit of materialism develops. People live for 10,000 years instead of 100,000 years. And then in the next age, the Dwapara Yuga, people live for 1,000 years. Things are a little bit more materialistic. There's a lot of wars and conflicts that start happening. And then finally, there's the Kali Yuga, which is the age that we're in now. And people live for 100 years maximum, and things are very bad in terms of the environmental disturbances and social disturbances. So even though it's not very auspicious for spiritual life, there's one advantage of the Kali Yuga. Kali Ardosha Nidhi Rajan Asti Heko Mahad Guna Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vajet. Although this Kali Yuga is a very bad age, there's one good thing about it, and that is by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can very easily attain self-realization and God-realization, even though it's a very bad age. So the whole cycle of four ages lasts for 4,320,000 years. So if you take 1,000 of those, then that's a day of Lord Brahma's life. So that's 4,320,000,000 years. And that's just one day of his life. So that's a day of Brahma. And then there's a night of Brahma, which also lasts 4,320,000,000 years. So the total for a complete day and night of Brahma is 8,640,000,000 years. And that's just one complete day of his life. So then to get his entire lifetime, you know, you have to multiply that by 360. That's 1 year. And then you multiply that by 100. And that's a lifetime of Brahma, the demigod Brahma. So that's, if you add it up, it's 311,040,000,040 billion years. 311 trillion years. So that is why, yeah, the demigods like Lord Brahma are called Amara, means without death, or Amrityu, without death. I mean, really, they do experience death, but after trillions of years. So compared to humans, it's like they're immortal. It's like we just have a very short time in these bodies, 100 years. It seems like a long time, I mean, psychologically, but really it isn't. It's just an instantaneous little flash of time compared with, you know, Brahma's life. There was, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of King Kakudmi, who was a king existing on earth, and he had a daughter named Revati. And like a good father, he was thinking who should be, you know, who would be a good husband for his wife, his daughter, who would be a good husband for his daughter, Revati. And yeah, they were discussing, what about this prince or that king? Maybe he would be good, maybe not. So King Kakudmi said, he told his daughter Revati, let's go to Brahma Loka. Brahma is the chief demigod. He's in charge of the whole universe. He knows everything, past, present, future. So he would be able to tell us, give us good advice, who the best person would be your husband. So they traveled to Brahma Loka. In those days, such things were possible. People in Vedic times had the ability to go from level to level in the cosmos, from planet to planet very easily. Like Narada Muni, for example, he's called the transcendental spaceman because he could travel from planet to planet just by his mystic power. Or sometimes people use vimanas or spacecraft, Vedic spacecraft, to travel from planet to planet. Those things were there. So You know, actually, at the Conscious Life Expo, I'm going to be on a couple of panels that deal with UFOs and aliens and things like that. So I'll be trying to say a few things about the Vimanas and the Vedic concepts related to these things. But as I said, you don't have to go there and pay. You can hear it right here for free. So the... So King Kakudmi and Revati, they went to Brahmaloka and they asked to see Lord Brahma. And you know, the doorkeeper there at Brahmaloka said, well, he's busy right now. He's at a concert. But he'll be with you in a short time. So they waited a little while. Then Brahma came and said, oh, my dear King Kakudmi, what can I do for you? And he, King Kakudmi, began to explain his purpose. You know, he wanted to know about who would be a suitable husband for his daughter, and he began naming different kings and princes. And Brahma was kind of smiling, laughing a little bit, and King Kakudmi asked him why he was laughing like that. And he said, well, in the time that you've been up here, millions and millions of years have passed on Earth, so all the people that you're talking about are long gone and forgotten. But he said, don't worry, when you go back, it will be Dwapara Yuga, and Krishna and Balaram will be on Earth, and Lord Balaram would be the ideal husband for your daughter, Revati. So they went back to Earth. Millions of years had passed in the few moments they'd been in Brahmaloka. And Revati was married to Balaram. So the point is that these demigods, they're called Amara or Amrityu. It's kind of interesting. Our English word mortal is related to, you know, this Sanskrit word Mrityu. You can see mortal, Mrityu. They're, you know, MRT, you know, they've, you know, the root is the same. So we have mortal and immortal in English, and Mara and Amara, you know, in Sanskrit, or Mrityu and Amrityu, same meaning, mortal and immortal, subject to death and without subject to death. But Krishna reminds us in the Bhagavad Gita that this concept that the demigods are immortal is just a way of speaking. It says, Abrahma Bhuvanaloka Punarvartan Arjuna. You know, that even if you promote yourself to the planet of the demigods, you know, the chief demigod, Brahmaloka, still it's a place of birth and death. Now, the lifespan may be inconceivable in terms of our tiny lifespans here in Kali Yuga on this planet. But even though they appear to be immortal, really they are immortal. The only way to become really immortal is to become situated in one's swarupa, one's eternal spiritual form in the spiritual world. Then one will not be required to take on another temporary material body, either the temporary body of a demigod like Brahma with a very long lifespan, or the temporary body of an ordinary human being in the Kali Yuga, you know, with a lifespan of at most 100 years. And most people are very lucky to get that far. I think the average... You know, it's stated in Kali Yuga, the lifespan will gradually decrease to about 25 years. So we're already making progress. You know, the lifespan has already decreased to about 75 years for most people. And it will get lower and lower as Kali Yuga goes on. Of course, there may be some ups and downs, just like when winter is coming. Sometimes you get a warm day, sometimes a cold day, but the trend is towards, you know, colder weather. So in particular countries, we may see the lifespan goes up a year or two, and other countries it goes down. But the average is over, as the Kali Yuga progresses, it will go down further and further. So recently I was in India, and I was invited by devotees in South India, in Tamil Nadu, to give lectures at universities there. So I was doing that. I gave lots of lectures at lots of different schools. And I was really interested to see that one of the most common questions that got asked at practically every school during the question session was, what about 2012, doomsday? Actually, they've been showing this Hollywood film, on television all over India, this 2012 movie where the earth is kind of destroyed by this huge flood. That's kind of one interpretation of the Mayan calendar. So a lot of students were asking me that question. They'd seen that and they were wondering. And I told them, they asked, is it going to be doomsday? And I said, well, doomsday is coming, but not in December 2012. according to the Vedic cosmology, there are these vast cycles of time. The Kalpa, the day of Brahma. After the Kalpa, the day of Brahma, there is a big devastation, a pralaya, as it's called in Sanskrit. And the day of Brahma is divided into 14 manvantara periods, each lasting about 300 million years. And after each manvantara period, there's a big devastation, a pralaya, which the earth is devastated by the floods. Actually, by the cosmic ocean rising and engulfing the earth. So in terms of the pralaya that follows a kalpa, in terms of the kalpa or day of Brahma, we're about halfway through it. It lasts 4,320,000,000 years. It started about 2 billion years ago. So that means in about 2 billion years, there will be a pralaya. There will be a big devastation, according to the Vedic calendar. But that's over 2 billion years from now. And at the end of the current manvantara period, there will also be a pralaya or devastation. The current manvantara period, the one that we're in now, the Vaivasvata manvantara period, is the seventh manvantara period in the current Kalpa or the day of Brahma. And it began about 120 million years ago. And it'll end in about 180 million years. And at that time, there will be a pralaya or a devastation. So I told the students who asked me this question, yes, doomsday is coming, but it's going to be millions and millions of years from now, so you can register for next year's classes. You don't have to worry that the world's going to end in December of 2012. Now, because it is Kali Yuga, I mean, some people think that, as I said, this Mayan calendar, like the Vedic calendar, also has this concept of cyclical time, vast cycles of time that repeat. And one of the cycles, according to their calendar, is coming to an end in December 2012. And they say, some people say, there will be a big devastation. And some people say, oh, it'll be a time of enlightenment. And some people say both things will happen. So from the point of view of the Vedic cosmological calendar, I look at it like this. It's the Kali Yuga. So there could be something you know, some kind of environmental or social disturbance happening. It's because it is the Kali Yuga, and the Kali Yuga is described as a time of increasing environmental and social disturbance. So, I mean, we've seen there have been tsunamis and earthquakes and floods and a lot of things going on. So something similar to that can happen this year. But it's not going to be a world-ending catastrophe. You know, that's what I was telling them. And there also could be more social disturbances. We see a lot, you know, increasing level of social and political disturbance, you know, going on in the world today. So that can also happen. And that can happen because it's Kali Yuga. Now, because within the Kali Yuga, we're in the golden age of Lord Chaitanya, there's always an opportunity for enlightenment. You know, because of the presence of the Krishna consciousness movement in the world, anybody can take advantage of that, take advantage of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, and become enlightened. So that's there. So, you know, that's how I answered, you know, that question. So these demigods, they exist for vast periods of time, and therefore, you know, they are called Amara, but that's just a figurative way of speaking, you know, a comparative way. You know, compared to us, with our short lives of 100 years in Kali Yuga, the demigods with their lifetimes of millions or billions or even trillions of years seem immortal. So Diti wanted a son like that, who was Amara, you know, on the level of the demigods, with a very long lifespan and with the power to kill Indra. But as mentioned in the purport, this often happens, that the words appear to mean one thing, but they can also mean another thing. So Diti was asking for a son who was Indra Hanam, one who can kill Indra, but Indra Hanam can also mean one who follows Indra. So by Krishna's arrangement, it's going to happen like that, as we'll see as this story plays out. So anybody have any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu?
In comparison of time, in my whole lifetime, 70 years, whatever it's going to be, is Lord Brahma on pause? Or just moving just, you know, like one frame at a time? Or is he in the middle of is he in the middle of chewing something? You know, like, or blinking his eye?
Well, it's very complicated, because Brahma can actually come down to our level of reality, as we see in Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, when Krishna is present on earth, Brahma can come down to our level of reality, and he's functioning there, kind of at our speed.
Right.
He comes, he sees Krishna playing with his cowherd boyfriend, so he interacts with them at earth speed, you could say. Even though in terms of his life on Brahmaloka, it's just flash of a, you know, microsecond, you know, and microsecond, you know, if you calculate it out. So the Vedic cosmology, it's not simple. You know, it's actually a little complicated. You know, it's multidimensional, you could say, in terms of how these things work. So it's possible even though what's happening in our span of life, in terms of our activities, in terms of our lives, compared with his, it would just be an instantaneous fraction of a second what goes on here in a year or a few years. But still, he's so powerful that he can enter into this dimension and even act on this dimension in terms of our time scale. So these, you know, beings are very powerful. You know, it's like, you know, I mean, just in terms of just analogies, like we may, you know, be looking at some website and, you know, like interacting with it in a certain way, but, you know, the controller, the webmaster, can interact, you know, in ways that the ordinary user cannot. So this, I mean, Sataputta Prabhu, you know, Richard Thompson, you know, he once compared this world to a kind of a virtual reality system, you know, like a computer-generated virtual reality system. But the controllers of it can enter into it. Even though they exist on some other dimension, they can enter into this world and function and understand what's going on in terms of our level. Archita.
Speaking of time, it would seem that at this time, Diti already had, you know, she's mourning her two sons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, who had grown up and got married and had children. Hiranyakashipu was the father of Prahlad and others, other children. So now she's asking for children again. So that seems a little odd from ordinary point of view. She was like a grandmother already, and, you know, a lot of time had passed, and now she wants to have children again. So maybe you can say something about that.
Well, she's also one of these demigods that exist for vast periods of time. And these demigods don't grow old as people on this level of reality do. You know, here at a particular, you know, if you look at the span of 100 years, you know, say a woman living 100 years after 50 years or 55 or whatever, it's no longer possible to have children. The body's growing old. But the demigods are not like that. Their bodies are not subject to the same processes that ours are. You know, so they're able to maintain their youthful position. You know, they don't, in other words, they don't grow old as we do here. So Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Oops, one final question from. Make an ex. Okay, ask your question, please.
You said in Kali Yoga, people's age are decreasing, but according to the traditional education, because of the advancement of medical technology, actually we see the people's lifespan is increasing. From like an average 60 years to 80.
Yeah, I mentioned that. I said like it may appear, just like in winter time, when winter is coming, you may get a warm day, a cold day. I mean, the temperature may go up and down, but the trend over the long haul is going to be down. So in some places, it may appear that the lifespan is going up, but briefly, but over the, you know, if we look at thousands of years over Kali Yuga, we'll see that the trend goes down. And then one thing that these statistics don't take into account is all the abortions. All the hundreds of millions of children that are aborted. So if you factored that, you know, into the statistics, you know, the average lifespan, you know, like the average lifespan of hundreds of millions of children is 2 months or 3 months, 4 months from the time of conception. So if you factored all that into the statistics, then you'd see, although the people who are left, some of them get a longer lifespan, if you factor in the age of all the children who were killed in the womb, then the average starts coming down. So you had a second question?
Yes, my second question is regarding many of the sites, historical sites that we found today, but actually the technology, how they build those sites, such as Egypt pyramid, and they're lost. I just wonder, are they from a previous age, or are they from our current age? And if they are built by humans, why those memories are lost?
Humans tend to forget things. Yes, there are. If we look at ancient monuments, there are a lot of mysteries about how they were built. You know, pyramids would come from a time roughly at the end of the Dwapara Yuga. They're from around the boundary of the Dwapara Yuga and the Kali Yuga. So they could represent abilities of people from that time period. So a lot more that could be said, but it's time for prasadam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.